Good morning and welcome to worship at St Andrew's. Our gathering words are inside the order of service. The seasons turn, we trust spring follows winter. Winter or summer, our world has needs asking to be met. We ponder today where just a cup of water will make a difference. I was looking at that and thinking, there's a time to lose a game and there's a time to win a game. I have a conflict of interest to report. My mother was English. And I remember when she was ill towards the end of her life, I rang her one day and she wasn't feeling very good. And I said, well, the cricket's depressing too, isn't it? Because the All Blacks were playing England at the time. She said, well, it depends who you're cheering for. I thought, Mum, you've been in the country over 50 years. Couldn't you have joined us by now? But no. So if there are any Lions supporters here, you're very welcome. And I personally think it's a great idea that the series is still alive. So here we go. Let's pray. As we watch the contests, one country against another, one team against another, one person against another. And we participate in that excitement, whatever it is that we enjoy in those kinds of contexts. We remember how human we are and how the highs and lows of what happens in our lives affect us. And we think of the visitors to our city and our country at the moment as they move on to the next part of their tour. And we think of us as we watch. And we think of our nation as we decide this year, in another kind of context, what will be important for us in our society. In all these contexts, tests and contexts, may we have the broad view. May we seek always to be working for what is best for all. And today, as we consider what it is like to be a community gathering around this particular table, may we hear what we need to hear, feel what we need to feel. May we be open to whatever may come. So may it be. Amen. And we say together the Lord's Prayer or the Jesus Prayer, whatever it's called, on the laminated card in your order of service. Eternal Spirit, life giver, pain bearer, love maker, source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echo through the universe, the way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world, your heavenly will be done by all created beings, your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, strengthen us. From trials too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen. And we have a rainbow room candle here. Is there anyone who would like to light it? Ben or Alex, perhaps? I wonder if they'd like to light the candle. Good morning, Alex. There you go. Put in that one. Oh, that was quick, wasn't it? Whoops, gone out. Try again. Yeah. Oh, maybe you're putting it a wee bit too close. Try holding it just near. Yeah, got it. Oh, do you want to light that one? There you go, you get two candles to light. Excellent, well done. Okay, do you want to come and sit at the front? Oh, 600 candles. Come and have a seat in the front row. No. Ooh.
Good morning, everybody. In this world, God has made lots of animals. Can you tell me the names of some of the animals in the world? Do you know the name of an animal in the world? Can you tell us a name of an animal? A tiger. Okay, let's put... A what? How do you spell that?
L-I... So it's pretty much tiger
with an L. With an L. What's that look like?
It's pretty much... It looks like a lion. It's got little faint stripes.
Oh, interesting. Can you tell us any more animals, you two? Yep.
A bear.
Oh, a bear. Good. Another one? Have you got an animal for us?
A pig.
A pig. Good.
Snake.
Snake. Fantastic. A cow. Well done.
Deer.
Deer. Yes. A bull. Susan, have you got one?
A panda.
Nice. So, it's pretty incredible, isn't it? All the animals that God made in this world. And what we're going to...
God did make a lion because he made a tiger and a lion, but humans made a lion.
Oh, it was humans who got them together.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Now, we're going to do a song, about some of the animals that God made. I did this song once before here, about 10 years ago, but there was only one kid, so I thought we could do it with when there was more people this morning. So thank you for being here. The chorus to the song, it would be great if everybody could sing it together. And so if I can just teach you the chorus. And just before we start, by the way, it's a song called Man Gave Name to All the Animals, Bob Dylan. If you want to sing We Gave Name to All the Animals, that's fine. All right, just to make it a bit more inclusive. I'll sing Man, though, because it's just what I'm used to. And so the chorus goes like this. Man gave names to all the animals in the beginning, in the beginning. Man gave names to all the animals in the beginning, long time ago. Can we just sing the chorus together, please? 2, 3, 4. Man gave names to all the animals in the beginning, in the beginning. Man gave names to all the animals in the beginning, long time ago. Saw an animal that liked to growl, big furry paws, and he liked to howl. Great big furry back and furry hair. I think I'll call him a... What do you think? Bear. Wolf or a bear? We'll see. A bear. Man gave names to all the animals in the beginning, in the beginning. Man gave names to all the animals in the beginning, long time ago. Saw an animal upon a hill, chewing up so much grass till he was full. Saw milk coming up, but he didn't know how. I think I'll call him a cow. Man gave names to all the animals in the beginning, in the beginning. Man gave names to all the animals in the beginning, long time ago. Saw an animal that liked to snort, horns on his head and he wasn't too short. Looked like there was nothing that he couldn't pull. I think I'll call him a...
It's a pig.
Snake? Pig?
Pig.
What do you think?
Bull.
Bull.
Man gave names to all the animals in the beginning, in the beginning. Man gave names to all the animals in the beginning, long time ago. Saw an animal leaving a muddy trail, real dirty face and a curly tail. He wasn't too big, small and he wasn't too big. Oh, big. Yeah, I think I'll call him a... Good girl. Well done, you two. Well done, pig. Man gave names to all the animals in the beginning, in the beginning. Man gave names to all the animals in the beginning, long time ago. Saw an animal as smooth as glass, slithering his way through the grass. Saw him disappear by a tree down by a lake.
Ah, snake. Yay. Thank you. Good, good.
We're going to have another song. This is going to be a very singy service because we had this on Pentecost Sunday and I thought people would know it and they didn't. So we need to have another go at it. And the children have a chorus that's got even less words than Mike's song because the chorus goes la 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 la. Do you think you can handle that? And we need the shakers because there's a good rhythm to this one. So, Peter, can you play the first verse and then we'll all stand to sing it? That's right. To bless the children. I'll collect the shakers. Alex, shakers go in the basket. Thank you. And we make a circle. Okay, we make a circle. And we're going to send you to the Rainbow Room to hear stories, ask questions, and have fun. And we all say, we bless you. Amen. Thank you. And we're going to pass the peace.
The reading from the Hebrew Bible is from Psalm 13, beginning at verse 1. How long, God, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. And the gospel reading is from Matthew 10, beginning verse 40. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. If anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. And the contemporary reading is from this table, which is from Sound and the Seasons by Malcolm Geet. The centuries have settled on this table, deepened the grain beneath a clean white cloth which bears afresh our changing elements. Year after year of prayer and hope and trouble were poured out here and blessed and broken, both in aching absence and in absent present. This table, too, the earth herself is given and human hands have made. Where candle flame at corners burns and turns the air to light, the oak once held its branches up to heaven, blessing the elements which it became, rooting the dew and rain, branching the light. Because another tree can bear, unbearable for us, the weight of love, so can this table. The word in scripture, for the word among us, for the word within us, we give thanks.
I was a bit amused listening to Heather reading the psalm, "How long will my enemy triumph over me?" It's quite appropriate, isn't it, for today? Let us pray. As we reflect on the word from scripture and from contemporary writers, may we hear what we need to hear, and may we find that we are enlightened. So may it be. Amen. Everyone, it seems, carries a water bottle these days. Well, that is, they carry their water bottle if they haven't left it behind at St Andrew's Church or Centre. Every Monday we come across bottles tucked under a chair or in a corner. There's a particularly pretty purple patterned one out in the North Vestry as I speak. It's been there for a while. We could have a sale of water bottles for fundraising. So it seems that everyone understands the importance of just a cup of water. And I could sit down now. Marcus Borg, you'll remember, includes water, or at least thirst for water, in his list of the six different routes to being saved, redeemed, or transformed that he has discovered in scripture, and six isn't an exclusive list. Do you remember them? Being brought back home from exile, being freed from bondage and oppression, finding light in the darkness, gaining forgiveness for wrongdoing, new life coming after something has died, and what I want to dwell on today, nourishment to relieve our hunger and thirst. Thirst is a healthy sign that we need fluids. With the ubiquitous water bottles all around us, I wonder whether anyone ever feels real thirst these days. My sister told me of her friend who found himself talking to a student. He was a specialist in urinary issues. The student was complaining that she had urinary frequency and every now and again was sipping on a bottle of water. And he wondered why she didn't get it. But real dehydration is dangerous. It robs the cells of the fluid medium that they need to get nutrients to the right place. It thickens the blood so it can't safely transport oxygen and waste around the body, and it interferes with clear thinking. But we thirst for things other than water. We might really need beauty around us rather than only the brown and black of war zones. Human beings need colour and life. We thirst for stimulation and good company, for people who enjoy tossing around the same ideas and seeking solutions. We thirst for love and for families that will nurture us and yet let us become the individuals we need to be. And we need food of different sorts too, food to grow brains that think well, strong ethics and good communities. We need the spiritual milk or the spiritual meat of which Paul writes to his little group of Jesus followers at Corinth. He said, "I gave you milk, not strong food, for you were not yet ready for it." Indeed, he says, you are still not ready. Obviously, they needed to grow up in Corinth. Our ability to absorb the food for the soul grows as we mature on the spiritual journey. So hungry and thirsty spiritual beings as we are, we need to find and be given the food and drink, the water of life and the bread of life that our souls need to grow and develop. And we search in books and around the churches for satisfying and filling food that will assuage our sacred hunger and for the water that will quench our soul's thirst. It's a lifelong search. We need different kinds of nourishment at different stages. And we heard earlier the psalmist captured at a desperate moment, longing for such food and drink, longing to be fed and watered by his God. In the contemporary reading, Malcolm Guite's sonnet muses on the table, the communion table, that holds for us today special food and drink, the elements that we have separated out to be our spiritual food. During the Protestant Reformation, the meaning and significance of communion, whether you call it communion, Eucharist, or Lord's Supper, whatever it was called, was a hotly debated topic. When you reject Catholic doctrines, you need to find beliefs that will replace this, and there was a very vigorous search for those. Big debates about, was Christ really present or virtually present in these elements, or is it a memorial meal where we remember his life and work, but do not put undue emphasis on the symbolism carried by the bread and the wine? Whole branches of the Protestant Church were formed based on one or other of those understandings. And I was interested to see in Guite's sonnet that he moves on from the elements to the actual table on which they stand and have stood for centuries. He's from the Northern Hemisphere, Cambridge, England, so he names the table as coming from an oak tree. For us, it might be kauri or rimu. Not only, he writes, are the elements upon the table spiritual food which has been honoured for centuries, but also the tree has given us the table. And in doing so, it resonates with the tree, often seen as the central symbol of Christianity, a tree that offers one of those ways of being transformed, the tree of life that symbolises the forgiveness we may need from time to time. And with its verticality, the spiritual connection is symbolised between the heavenly and the earthly. So this ritual of a meal, Guite reminds us, is not just a gulping down of food to satisfy physical hunger and thirst. It's a meal that's redolent of all the people who have brought their hungry, thirsty souls to this moment over centuries. Over 177 years in this parish alone, over 500 years in the Protestant Church, and thousands more in the church before that. So that when we offer just a cup of water in aid to a suffering fellow human being, whether man or woman, girl or boy, trans or cis, it comes not just from the tap or from the goodness of our impulse of the moment, but also with this whole history of nourishing, of feeding and being fed, of watering and being watered, of the transforming of the hunger and thirst of our souls. I've lost count of the people who say to me in different ways how difficult they find believing in Christianity's traditional beliefs. And then they say, I just come here for the community, and perhaps you're one of those people. But this community is the way it is because it stands in a long tradition of many different ways in which spiritual hunger and thirst have been satisfied. And the fact that people from this community are able to offer just a cup of water, and often more than just a cup of water, to the community that surrounds us, is because they are sustained by this community. And this community can do that sustaining, because this community is sustained by the community that we call God. So the offering of just a cup of water is not our bright or compassionate idea of the moment. It has been millennia in the making. Let us fall silent in awe at that idea. And later today, in that long line of history of faith and belief and action, we will ordain an elder today. And that is an office of the church that again has been here for thousands of years, time after time in many different places. Many people have come to help in the leadership of the church. And just as communion has been over the centuries and the millennia for us, so leadership in the church is part of that long tradition. So let us today reach out for that food and that drink and the grain and the grape served here today, so that later we can stretch out our hands to others, holding out that precious cup of water. So may it be. And for a slightly shorter time, there has been an equally important tradition here of people bringing notices to the community. So if people would like to come forward with their notices, do start coming forward. I need to say something while people are coming forward. And I've completely forgotten what it is. So, Lynn, how about you?
So, I'm Lynn Dovey, Parish Council Convener, and it's my duty and pleasure today to give notice of a special congregational meeting to be held in 2 weeks' time on Sunday the 16th of July at 11:30 after the service, or thereabouts, to discuss the organ restoration project. We would like your agreement on the way to proceed. Last week we had a meeting with Roy Tankersley, who many of you will know, who is a specialist organ consultant and a well-known musician around this town. And he was able to answer our many questions, our many technical and other questions, and give us some good advice. And we would like to share that with you, and I think that Roy will be available for that meeting. I also, July is a busy month. I have three posters here. There's one of these in your order of service, but I just want to draw your attention to the fact that James Shaw, co-leader of the Greens, is going to join the panel. He has contacted us and said he would like to do that. So I have some of these if you want to take any away and share them with friends and family and work colleagues. And then I have two concerts I want to talk about. One of them is one that you know about, and one of them is probably one that you don't know about. The one you don't know about is the Sound of Youth Music. So I also am involved with Music Futures, which is a little organisation that supports young people in music. And this is a concert, a lovely concert actually, that's going to happen on Sunday the 23rd of July at 3 o'clock. And we are lucky enough to have the winner of the Central Regional Chamber Music Contest. So a fabulous quartet playing Shostakovich, but also some other very good items. Teal Voices from Wellington Girls College, the Nikau Brass Quintet, and Nicole Thompson, who is a very talented young flautist from the Kapiti Coast, as well as her trio. So I have posters of that. And then, of course, I have posters, if you don't know about this, which comes back to my first point. Jane Keller is doing a fundraising concert with Peter Franklin. Thank you, Peter, for raising funds for the organ, and I have some more posters of these if you would like them. Thank you.
I'm Paul Satherley. Jenny is in touch regularly with Betty Hoopman and asked me to let you know that Betty is at the moment at Kenneparoo Hospital in Ward 5 and is really fairly unwell.
And I've remembered what I needed to say to you. I know of a person who was whose boarding house accommodation has come to an end and is staying in a retirement home with a relative, which isn't an ideal situation. So if anyone knows of any kind of lodging situation or flat that that person could go into, if you could see me afterwards, that would be really good. Thank you. The city, of course, has been ultra full over this last week. It may ease next week. So I'll now invite Colma to lead us in prayer.
Let us join together in the prayers of the people. Loving God, as we journey through these days of Matariki, long nights and short days, through the icy chill and dampness of winter, towards the hope of spring and the summer yet to come, let us ponder what a cup of water might be. Maybe something simple and easily given, or a gift that requires much more. May we be aware of the needs of our neighbours and work colleagues, friends and neighbours, family or strangers on the street. Help us to be responsive and ready to give freely, even a cup of water. And wherever we go, may we know that you are always with us. In the prayers of the people from our book this morning, we pray for Bruce Stewart, the playwright and founder of Tapu Tarangi, for his life and family and those he supported on their life journeys. May we hold in our thoughts and prayers the family of Skye, especially her parents as they grieve the passing of their little daughter. May God's love surround them in the days ahead. In our circle of prayer today, we think of the people of Benin and the Protestant Methodist Church of Benin. In New Zealand, we remember those in Parliament, and today we name Calvin Davis and Ruth Dyson and the members of their electorates of Te Tai Tokoro and the Port Hills. Here in the Central Presbytery, we pray for the leaders of and people of the Living Uniting Church. And let us say together the prayer for St Andrews, which is on your laminated card. If you're visiting with us this morning, please make this prayer the prayer for your people and your community, and also for ours. We say together, renew your people, God, and renew our life in this place. Give us a new spirit of unity with all who follow Christ, and a new spirit of love towards all people. Bless the city in which we live, that it may be a place where honest dealing, good government, the desire for beauty, and the care for others flourish. Bless this church, that what we know of your will may become what we do, and what we believe, the strong impulse of our worship and work. Amen.
During our offering today, Vivian is going to sing to us the words which are written in your order of service. They are also on the piece of paper that has music on it, just a cup of water. There are three verses in the music and two on the order of service. We will just be singing two this morning. So Vivian will sing during the offering, so listen well so that you can pick up the tune. And then we will stand as the offering when the offering comes forward for our offering prayer. We will sing those two verses together as a congregation, and it will also be our communion hymn. So Peter, if you'd like to come forward, that would be great. Our offering for the work here and beyond these walls and food for those who need it will be received. So now we come to that ancient custom of ordaining elders, and we have a complicated little ceremony which won't take as long as its name. We're going to be commissioning, inducting and ordaining, and there's only two people, so It's going to be interesting. So I'd ask Katrina and Lynn and Sue if they would come forward. It's the 2016 annual meeting. St Andrew's elected new parish councillors, Katrina Harper and Lynn Dovey, as parish council convener. And it's a testament to the fact that people that you elect to leadership here are busy people, and so this is the first time we've got everyone together in the same place on a communion Sunday. Parish councillors, together with the minister, exercise oversight within the parish. They're people who hold the respect and trust of the people for roles of leadership. They're expected to be faithful in their attendance at public worship and to share with the ordained ministry in the care of the people, the government of the church, and the witness of the church in the community around it. So Sue McCrae is going to present Katrina and Lynn.
Speaking on behalf of the people of St Andrews on the Terrace, who have unanimously elected them, I bring Katrina to be ordained and commissioned as an elder and parish councillor, and Lynn to be inducted as convener. They will have the status of elder within the Presbyterian Church of Aotearoa in New Zealand.
Come on. Come on, a bit more central. Come and join the data projector. Come on, Patrick. With joy and a sense of hope and promise, we come to induct you, Lynn, as parish council convener today, and ordain you, Katrina, as elder and parish councillor. There are many demands on our time and energy, yet in the midst of that busyness, we are called in Christ to be the church. From the beginnings of the early church, people have been asked to take part in the church's mission, building and strengthening the gathered community and seeking to transform the world beyond the church. At St Andrew's on the Terrace, we continue that tradition, conscious of others who have gone before us in faith in this place and aware that others will follow. We give thanks for people who make themselves available for the welfare, nurture, worship and administration of this church, and we are conscious of the ways, many ways, in which others in the congregation enact their faith, where they live and work, some in very quiet and anonymous ways. We've asked you both to be leaders in the community of faith, so I now ask you to declare your faith and your readiness. Lynn, will you be a faithful leader, caring for people and supporting this church as a place where everyone may belong and grow? Will you share in the administration of this church, and in your ministry, will you seek to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ to all people?
I will.
Members of the congregation, do you, in inducting Lynn, whom you've chosen to share in the parish's leadership as parish council convener, promise to give her your support and encouragement? Excellent, correct answer. Lynn, with thankfulness and joy, I declare you have been inducted as parish council convener with the congregation's support and encouragement. Well done. Congratulations and commiserations. Yeah. You might like to swap places with Katrina. We now come to Katrina's ordination as elder. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we follow, we now ordain Katrina Harper to the eldership and commission her as a parish councillor in this congregation. In this act of ordination, the Presbyterian Church of Aotearoa New Zealand, as part of the Holy Catholic Church, that's the wide universal church, worshipping one God, affirms anew its belief in the gospel of sovereign grace and love, which draws us, renews us, and calls us to work in the community of faith for the advancement of the kingdom of God throughout the world. The Presbyterian Church of Aotearoa New Zealand acknowledges the word of God, which is contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament, to be the supreme rule of life and faith. The Presbyterian Church, you can tell I didn't write this, this is the official preamble to ordain an elder. It's not quite centuries old, but it's almost. The Presbyterian Church of Aotearoa New Zealand holds as its subordinate standards the Westminster Confession of Faith, the larger and shorter catechisms, recognising liberty of opinion on such points of doctrine as do not enter into the substance of the Reformed faith, and claiming the right and dependence on the promised guidance of the Holy Spirit to formulate, interpret, or modify its subordinate standards, always in agreement with the Word of God and the fundamental doctrines of the Reformed faith contained in the said confession and other subordinate standards, of which agreement the Church itself shall be sole judge. There will be a test afterwards. In view of this declaration, Katrina, there are some questions for you. Do you believe in one God, and do you confess anew the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord? Do you believe the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith contained in the standards of this church? Do you promise to seek the unity and peace of this church, to uphold the doctrine, worship, government, and discipline thereof, and to take your due part in the administration of its affairs? Will you be a faithful leader, caring for the people and supporting this church as a place where everyone may belong and grow? In your ministry, will you seek to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ to all people? So I ask the parish council convener to read the formula.
I believe the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith contained in the Westminster Confession of Faith and other subordinate standards of this church. I acknowledge the Presbyterian government of this church to be agreeable to the word of God and promise that I would submit hereto and concur therewith. I promise to observe the order of worship and the administration of all public ordinances as the same are or may be allowed in this church.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving Spirit, we give thanks for the life and teaching of Jesus, who showed us the way of love and generous faith. We have been given, each of us, gifts of ministry, faith, hope, and love to share, to support and nurture your people, to share your presence in the world. For this we give thanks. Let your Spirit fill Lynn and Katrina, whom we now ordain, commission, and induct. Give them openness and sensitivity, maturity and wisdom as they fulfill their ministry here, and us as we support them in our common faith. We pray for the council they join, that together in this year they may continue to work together in peace, sharing our energy, our faith, and our lives. Amen. I now declare, Katrina, that you have been ordained to the office of eldership. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the authority of this parish council, I admit you to office in this congregation. In token thereof, we give you the right hand of fellowship. And I'd like to invite the parish council to come and greet Katrina, and to encourage people who, those of you who are elders and ministers, and everybody, to make sure that they greet Katrina after the service. There's a congregational response here, which I realise you do not have in front of you, so I'm going to read it to you and ask you if you can affirm it. In the power of God and the power of our life together, we will move forward, risking the way of Jesus, taking up the task of this day and the days to come. In faith, we will accept our calling in Jesus. In hope, we will be the people of God. Can you affirm this? And let's welcome our new member, our new elder. That's your first duty done, Katrina. In your order of service, there is a cream liturgy for the communion. We move to that now. And just to warn you, at the end of it, after the closing prayers, we move back to the order of service for the final hymn. St. Andrew's is an open community, and all are invited to Christ's table. Wherever you are on your faith journey, wherever you've come from, wherever you're going, whatever you believe, whatever you do not believe, you are welcome to participate in the communion. This is God's meal for all people. Let us stand to say the litany for those who would fly kites. Please stand. Those who fly kites know that kites are earthbound and cannot lift and soar until they are caught by the wind. People in churches are earthbound and cannot be themselves until the wind of God's Spirit lifts them to fly. Kites are not free to thrust and move until they are let go to explore the skies. People in churches are not free to love and care until they can let go and catch the Spirit, which is love. Kites have no power and direction unless they are caught and controlled by the wind. People and churches have no power and direction unless they allow the Spirit of God to move within them. O God, may your Spirit lift us from being earthbound and free us to soar, to explore, to have direction and purpose. O God, help us to fly as people freed by your Spirit to live and to love. Please be seated. O Eternal Spirit, we give thanks because with fire and wind you came among us. You burst forth and our lives have never been the same. You continue to reveal yourself to women and men many times in different places in a myriad of ways, offering us a new way of living, a new energy, empowering us for the journey. Therefore, with the energy and powerful love which we can now find deep within us, with the creative ones who delight and transform darkness and despair, with those with artistic skill who dare to visualize for us another way, with the damaged ones who bring to life stage new drama, with those who are rich in enthusiasm, who inspire others to do good and do well, we give thanks, saying, Holy, 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 loving Spirit God, heaven and earth are full of your glory, the glory of the power that is love. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are they who come in the name of God. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is our brother Jesus, who walks with us in the Spirit of life, now always with us wherever we are, who, after a meal with his friends, people much like us, took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this to remember me. In the same way also the cup after supper, saying words like, This cup is the new covenant. Do this whenever you drink it to remember me. Come now, disturbing spirit, brood over and breathe on these earthly things and make us one body in Christ. Open our eyes, unlock our hearts, name us here. Touch and heal all that has been buried in us, transforming ugliness into beauty, transforming despair into hope, that we may go out with power to release new life in the world. The gifts of God for the people of God. Come, eat and drink, for all is ready. We do not rise from this table without remembering other members of this worldwide family. For those who are suffering from poverty, we pray relief. For those who fear war, we pray peace. For those who experience prejudice, we pray acceptance. For those treated with hate, we pray love. For those who doubt their former beliefs, we pray trust and faith. For all who seek a spiritual path, we pray they will find it. So may it be. Amen. And if you turn back to your regular order of service, you'll find there a final hymn, chosen in case any English visitors wandered into this place.
Thank you.
go out into a world where the Lions can beat the All Blacks, and know that every moment of every day, love is surrounding you. And as you make those decisions as to whether a cup of water is needed, or whether maybe something more, that love will be with you.